Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Gregory Brew, analyst with Eurasia Group. Gregory, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I really want to talk today about this conflict between Israel and Iran. In an unprecedented move that we saw over the weekend, Iran launched a drone attack on Israel. This comes after Iran blamed Israel for the April 1st strike on the Iranian embassy in Syria. So what do you make of this situation over the past few days?
You're absolutely right. This is an unprecedented attack from Iran at Israel. It's the first time Iran has ever used its own weapons from its own territory to target Israel directly. The attack was also much larger, I think, than many analysts anticipated. Iran used 300 drones and missiles, all of which converged on Israel at more or less the same time. This placed a great deal of pressure on Israel's air defense systems, although with support from the United States and other regional states, Israel was able to shoot down most of the missiles and drones. So this was a big attack. But there's something else that we should consider here. Iran took steps to notify the United States and other states in the region that it was going to attack Israel. It telegraphed this attack in advance, which gave the United States quite a bit of time to assist Israel in putting together air defenses. This would suggest that Iran designed this attack to be mostly symbolic, a show of force, a way to restore deterrence in the wake of Israel's attack on its consulate in Damascus. It should also be said that this comes in the context of months of Israeli attacks on Iranian positions, both in Syria and elsewhere. It comes after Israel's attack in Damascus, which killed 7 senior officers in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC. So this has come after months of pressure on Iran to respond to these Israeli attacks. Iran has done so in an unprecedented, significant, but I would argue largely symbolic fashion.
Largely symbolic, but also, as you noted, it was direct. This is the first time Iran directly attacked Israel, not through proxies, albeit the Houthis or Hamas or Hezbollah. So what do you think that directness means? What's the message there?
Well, it's a sign that Iran's strategy has shifted. As you note, in the past, Iran has usually leaned on its regional allies, the so-called resistance front, which includes Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, various militias in Iraq and Syria. Iran usually uses these groups to do the dirty work for them. These groups are used by Iran as a first line of defense, but also as a first means of attack against both Israel and the United States, which is Iran's other regional competitor or regional enemy. The fact that Iran chose to use its own missiles and drones to send a very strong, very clear deterrent message to Israel also suggests that its strategy has changed, that it is willing and may be compelled in the future to use its own weapons again if repeatedly provoked. If Israel does continue to carry out attacks against Iran's assets in the region, or if it responds to this attack by bombing Iran directly, which is possible, then it is likely that Iran will feel compelled to respond with new attacks, a new show of force, potentially one that doesn't come with heavy telegraphing or heavy communication in advance.
Because Iran telegraphed this attack, you're saying that that shows that Iran doesn't want a larger regional war. In light of this attack, there has been a lot of chatter. Is this the start of World War III? Do you think that's the case?
I would agree that Iran likely does want to avoid a broader regional conflict. We've seen that from Iran from the very beginning of this crisis. Iran has tried to use the crisis in the region that began with the attack of Hamas against Israel on October 7th. Iran has tried to use this crisis to its advantage, to take opportunities to pressure Israel or the United States without taking action that could escalate the conflict. And there's a very simple reason for that. Iran doesn't want a direct fight against Israel and the United States. Such a fight would go very badly for Iran, would weaken Iran's position, would potentially degrade Iran's allies such as Hezbollah or the Houthis in Yemen or various militias. So Iran has been trying to play a game of strategic patience, placing pressure on Israel and the US to seek advantage or take opportunity. With this attack, it has tried to restore deterrence, to deter Israel from attacking its assets in the region, but it likely doesn't want escalation from this point. Whether we get escalation, I think, depends a great deal on how Israel chooses to respond. Israel is obviously under immense pressure to respond to against a direct attack on its own territory. And here I think the key actor will be the United States. President Biden is putting a lot of pressure on Netanyahu and the Israeli government to rein in its response and try to reduce this escalatory pressure. But it will all come down to how Israel chooses to respond to this attack and what action it takes in the coming days.
Israel said it was planning to respond, but do you think Iran achieved its goal of restoring deterrence?
We'll have to wait and see. I mean, when you restore deterrence, you hope that you will deter your enemy, your foe, from doing what it had been doing up until that point. If Iran succeeds in getting Israel to rein in its campaign against IRGC assets in Syria or against other high-value targets in the region, then I think the Iranians will see it as a victory. They will see this as a show of force that forced Israel to pull back. However, if Israel does continue its attacks, then Iran has raised the threshold for necessary action. If there are new attacks on IRGC commanders or high-value targets in the region, Iran will feel pressure. And here I should say, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, Iran's leader, will feel great pressure to respond in a similarly forceful way. So make no mistake, even if this was a telegraphed symbolic attack, the Rubicon has been crossed. There's no going back. Iran will have to take greater action in response to future provocations.
I do want to talk about the United States' response. You mentioned this earlier. President Biden released a statement on Saturday that he said he called Prime Minister Netanyahu, quote, to reaffirm America's ironclad commitment to the security of Israel. But reports also indicate that President Biden told him that the United States would not be supportive of an Israel offensive on Iran. What do you make of the U.S. response here?
So I think the United States is playing a two-part game. On the one hand, President Biden has been very clear that the United States stands by Israel, that the U.S. will support Israel's defense. I think we saw evidence of that over the weekend. The U.S. did play a role in assisting Israel's defense against the barrage of Iran's drones and missiles. The United States continues to support Israel. However, Biden is trying to create de-escalatory pressure. He's trying to pull Israel away from actions that might escalate the conflict. And I think the White House, the U.S., is very conscious of the fact that Israel feels compelled, feels pressure to respond to this attack, and that such an attack may not be viewed from Iran as an acceptable response. It may very well be viewed as an escalation, particularly if the attack is against Iran directly. So the United States is trying to do two things. It's trying to support Israel, maintain support for Israel's defense, while creating avenues away from escalation. And much of that will run through Israel. Much of that will depend on what the Netanyahu government, what the war cabinet decides to do in response to Iran's attack.
It seems like Iran and the United States have both telegraphed that they don't want a conflict or war with each other. Do you see any indication that there could be a larger conflict with the United States, with Iran? What does this do to Iran-U.S. Relations here?
Well, I think that even if actors involved manage to escape major escalation from this episode, right, if the Israeli response to Iran is tempered, if it is limited, if Iran views it as de-escalatory and we manage to pull back from the brink, that will be a win for everybody. But it won't really improve the environment. Right? As I mentioned, if Israel carries out additional attacks against Iran's assets, if the crisis continues, if there is no ceasefire in Gaza, if we don't see a broader de-escalation, then with each passing week, temperatures will rise and the risks associated around a broader escalation will increase. And even if actors, as you note, that include the United States and Iran, even if these actors don't really want a regional war, the longer this crisis continues, the more often we see these flashpoints, these brink events where everybody gets very, very close to launching a full-on war, those events will continue to happen and will get closer and closer to the point of escalation. So, you know, even if we get through this episode, the risk of escalation will still be there.
Reports indicate that the United States, France, Britain have urged Israel not to respond. The Secretary General of the United Nations said this, quote, "Now is the time to defuse and de-escalate. Now is the time for maximum restraint." What do you think happens if Israel bucks that guidance?
Well, it will depend on perception. You know, Israel is likely to do something against Iran, just as Iran was likely to do something against Israel for the original consulate bombing. It depends on how Iran perceives Israel's action. If Israel's action sort of follows the guidelines of what Iran did to Israel, wherein it's large, it's flashy, it exceeds expectations, but as far as having a physical impact, it turns out to be fairly limited, perhaps even symbolic. That could be viewed by Iran as an acceptable pathway towards de-escalation. But I think it should be noted that given the pressures that the Netanyahu government are under following an unprecedented attack against Israeli territory, they are under a lot of strain to respond in a suitable way to restore their own deterrence against Iran and also to meet domestic pressure from the Israeli people regarding the security of Israel. It needs to be emphasized again and again. Israel is in a different place now than where it was on October 6th. The attitude has changed. The concerns with security are much more heightened as a result of the Hamas attack on October 7th. So, you know, it all depends on the degree to which the war cabinet decides to restrain their response. But, you know, we won't know until we see what that response turns out to be.
Gregory, you're the expert here, particularly on Iran. So what do you think is missing from the international conversation on this situation?
Well, I think one thing that tends to get left out when we talk about Iran's foreign policy is Iran's domestic policy, and specifically the domestic policy of the Islamic Republic of Iran. What we're seeing right now inside the Islamic Republic is a historic level of discontent, frustration, the regime's diminished legitimacy, the increased discontent and anger that many ordinary Iranians feel towards the Islamic Republic regime and towards Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, something that has lingered in the air since the protest movement of 2022. Something that also happened over the weekend, the Iranian government decided to suddenly and with little warning crack down on enforcing hijab laws, the very issue which triggered the protests of 2022 following the death of Mahsa Amini. So the domestic situation in Iran continues to be unstable, it continues to be uncertain, and this could likely be compelling Iran's leadership towards taking these more aggressive, slightly more bellicose moves in order to project strength, to discourage the perception of the Islamic Republic as weak or somehow undermined. And if the situation within Iran becomes more unstable, this could create an even more aggressive foreign policy.
A lot of tension in the region right now. A lot remains to be seen. But what's on your radar? What should we be looking out for next?
Well, as I mentioned, it all comes down to what Israel chooses to do in response to this Iranian attack. Even if the response is mitigated, even if it's calibrated and limited, it won't necessarily fully reduce the escalatory pressure. That all hinges, as you know, we've been saying for months, it all hinges on whether there is a successful ceasefire in Gaza. And that situation doesn't seem to have moved forward very much in the last couple of days as we focused on Iran-Israel confrontation, on the crisis there. But I would continue to note that, you know, a lot of this stems from the situation in Gaza. And if progress is made on diplomacy there, if there is a ceasefire, even if it's only a short-term one, that will help regional actors, including Israel and Iran, reduce tensions and move towards a de-escalatory pathway.
Gregory Brew, thank you so much for your insight today.
Thank you so much for having me on.